ब्रज जन रंजन जशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज जय शिशि निताय गौ प्रेमानंदी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंदश ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुष उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः वंदे अहम श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापरकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं शकरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं शवदूतं परिजनशयितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगणा ललिताशिविशाखान्वितंश्च वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Who is Lord Balaram? Let's find out from Adi Lila, 5th chapter, the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sarva, this is text 4. Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Taha Dvitiya Deho Shri Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and Lord Balaram is his second body, Dvitiya Deho. Purport: Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead. And his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Swangsa, and forms that have limited potency, the living entities, are called Bibinangsa. So of the Swangsa, Swangsa means Swa-angsa, the personal expansion, Swa-angsa, and Bibin-angsa, the separated expansions, living entities. Sangsa Bibinangsa, two categories of expansions of the Lord. Angsa. Sangsa, self-expansion. So we will explain here the Swayam Prakash. Balaram is the Swayam Prakash. That means the personal expansion. Swayam, the self-expansion. Swayam Prakash, the first expansion. When Krishna expands, first expansion is Lord Balaram. Swayam Prakash. There are two, this is text 5, there are two, these two are one and the same identity. Eka Swarup, E Donhe, Bina Matrakai. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna and he assists Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Purport, Mahashiva Prabhupada. Balaram is the Swangsa expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is the bodily structure. It's called Vaibhav Prakash. And he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. The only difference is their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity amongst the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in the transcendental activities. He's the foremost assistant. Shei Krishna Navadipe Sri Chaitanya Chandra Shei Balaram Shange Sri Nitananda. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadip as Lord Chaitanya and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. Brajendra Nandana Shei Shachi Shuto Hoilo. Brajendra Nandana Jai Shachi Shuto Hoilo Shei Balaram Hoilo Nidai. Narottam Das Thakur sings. Text 7. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Shesh, Shesh Naga, and the Vishnus all lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk. Shesh Naga and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Purport. Sri Saurabh Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as the 7th of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Text 8.
Sri Balaram Goshai Mul Shankarshan Pancha Rupa Dhari Korein Krishna Shevan.
Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan and he assumes 5 other forms to serve Lord Krishna.
Apan Korein Krishna Lila Shahaja Shrishti Lila Karya Kore Dhari Charikai.
He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and he does the work of creation in the 4 other forms. Text number 10. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation and in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways.
Purport.
According to expert opinion, Balaram, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarshan. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in 5 forms. Now, can we guess what these 5 forms are? Any suggestions? Balaram expands in 5 forms. Can we suggest one of them? Okay, yeah, that's probably there, but not what's written here. Here is written, first is Mahasankarshan. Mahasankarshan. Second is Karanadakshayi Vishnu. Third is Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Fourth is Kshiradakshayi Vishnu. And fifth is Shesha Naga. That was just mentioned in the previous verse, actually, so that's why I asked the question. It's not, if we had been listening, we probably would have picked up on it. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. Okay, so which ones are responsible for the material cosmic manifestation? The principal responsibility of the material manifestation lies with which expansion? Mataji? Yes, Sankarshan. But yeah, there's a few Sankarshans here. Mahasankarshan, Mahavishnu, Karanadakshayi Vishnu. And which expansion is responsible for the spiritual creation? Shesha Naga. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, whereas Shesha is responsible for the personal service of the Lord. Shesha is called Ananta or unlimited because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servitor Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servitor Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. We'll read a little more later. But I was just reading, interestingly, Giriraj Maharaj was explaining a story here. Prabhupada mentions that there is no difference between Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna apart from the bodily hue. Lord Balaram is white, Lord Krishna is bluish. So, in Allahabad, Kumbh Mela, I think 1972, there was a discussion going on this issue about the difference between Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, between Madhudvisa Prabhu and Jamuna Mataji. So Giriraj Maharaj telling this story, that Madhudvisa Prabhu was saying, there is no difference between Balaram and Krishna, the only difference is that Balaram is white. And Jamuna Mataji said, no, because the difference, there's another, in addition to that, only Lord Krishna is the enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. And they were looking at this issue. And so they weren't coming to an agreement. Madhudvisa was disagreeing, so they brought it to Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he also was unable to resolve it. He took it to Prabhupada. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada that Madhudvisa Prabhu says that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Balaram is white. And Prabhupada said, that is correct. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, and Jamuna Mataji said that but Krishna is only Krishna is the enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada said, that is correct. And then Tamal Krishna said, but they can't both be correct. And Prabhupada said, that is correct. And then Tamal Krishna said, so who is right? And Prabhupada said, you decide. So this is inconceivable, achincha rup, inconceivable, Bhagavat tattva gyan. It's inconceivable, the Bhagavat tattva, philosophy of God. But however, our acharyas are giving us some concepts to conceive. Another point Giriraj Maharaj was making about the difference between God and the Absolute Truth. That here, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he's explaining the Param Tattva or Prabhupada, Param Tattva means the highest truth, or as Prabhupada uses a Latin word, summum bonum. You read this word sometimes, Prabhupada uses this word, summum bonum. It's a Latin word. That means the conclusion of everything. The highest conclusion and summation, the ultimate principle, summum bonum, is Param Tattva. The highest truth in Bhagavatam, Janari Ashayataha, from whom everything is emanating. So that is here explained, the science. That everything is emanating. Krishna, the Savakarana Karanam, he is the origin and cause of everything. And in order creation, he arranges through the form of Lord Balaram. He assumes the form, expands as Lord Balaram, and from that Lord Balaram, everything comes. So really, we can say that Janmadi Ashayataha Shlok is referring to Lord Balaram. I mean, of course, Krishna is the ultimate origin and cause of everything, but he expands in this way. So there's no difference in the tattva and the supremacy of Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. And another time, Prabhupada asked, who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram? Who is stronger? So what is the answer? Let's hear your answers. Who is stronger? Chaitanya Charan. Krishna is stronger. What evidence do you have to make that statement? Is that so? In this picture, yeah, Balaram is leading on Krishna. So the answer is that Krishna is stronger, and that's the reason Prabhupada gave. There are some, we can see in the Leela, actually there's some which we're going to look at shortly. There are some interesting differences between Krishna and Balaram. Like for example, I'll tell a few things and then we'll read some things. Like for example, when Pradyumna, Krishna's son, he kidnapped in the Swayambara of Lakshmana, he took her on his chariot and took her as his wife, Lakshmana. So then the Kauravas, they were very angry and they attacked Pradyumna and they captured him and they bound him in ropes and took him to Hastinapura. They were insulted by that. So when this news came to Dwarka, to the Yadus, that Pradyumna had been insulted in this way, because this is Kshatriya principle. You can take the, at the Swayambara, he defeated the other princes. And then they unfairly chased him and all ganged up on him. This is dharmic, Raja Dharma, Kshatriya Dharma. It's very glorious. This is the most glorious type of wedding. Kshatriya wedding, fighting. And that's Prabhupada says, that's why the married women have the shidhu, the red on the forehead. It indicates that blood has been spilt. Blood has been spilt to capture, to attain this wife. So this is Vedic culture. And then this is not good that they captured him and tied him up. So the Ugrasena, when they got the news, Ugrasena said, let us attack the Kurus. And Krishna also said, yes, Akraman, let's attack. And but Balaram, he had a different opinion. He said, well, let me think that actually, you know, it would be good if we have, you know, I feel that we have the alliance with the Kuru dynasty, so let me go and I will mediate. He was the transcendental mediator. And he went to mediate on behalf of the Yadus and everything. So he went there, and that's a nice story also, that they all came out because they respected Duryodhana and the Kuruvas. They all respected Balaram. They liked Lord Balaram. He was Duryodhana's, you know, teaching in the club. They liked Lord Balaram. They all came out respectfully. And then he said, what you've done here, this is not good. We are not pleased. He said, capturing Pradyumna. Immediately release him. So the Kshatriyas, they have this They have this ahankar, you know. They don't like to be ordered around. They like to give the orders. So the Kauravas became a little agitated. Who are you? We are the Samrat. We are the emperors of this world. By our mercy, you are sitting there in Dwarka, occupying our land. By our mercy, you are using the royal chamor and whisk. And who are you to tell us what to do? Huh? And then they went back. And then Balaram, he became very angry. Very angry. And his eyes became reddened, and he was very angry. And then he said, "Oh, I'll teach these puffed up Kauravas a lesson." And took his plow, and he was about to, you know, to pull the whole of Hastinapura into the Jamuna. So seeing that, they came to their senses, they came out and they surrendered. So we can see that there's a different incident there of the difference of opinion. And of course, a classic example is with the issue of the Battle of Kurukshetra, that Balaram took a different stance to Krishna, a very significant different stance. So, telling Balaram Leela is like holding a lamp to the sun. Who can tell better Balaram Leela than Srila Prabhupada himself? So we'll just hear from the words of Prabhupada. Once upon a time, once upon a time, Lord Balaram heard that there was an arrangement being made for a fight between the two rival parties of the Kuru dynasty, one headed by Duryodhana and the other by the Pandavas. He did not like the idea that he was to be the only mediator to stop the fighting. Finding it unbearable not to take an active part on behalf of either of the parties, he left Dwarka on the plea of visiting various holy places of pilgrimage. He first of all visited the place of pilgrimage known as Prabhakshetra. He took bath there and pacified the local Brahmins and offered oblations to the demigods, Pitas, great sages and people in general, in accordance with the Vedic rituals. That is the Vedic method of visiting holy places. After this, accompanied by some respectable Brahmins, he decided to visit different places on the bank of the river Saraswati. He gradually visited such places as Prithudak, Bindusara, Tritakup, Sudarsharnatirtha, Bishalatirtha, Brahmatirtha, and Chakratirtha. Besides these, he also visited all the holy places on the bank of the Saraswati river, running toward the east. After this, he visited all the principal holy places on the bank of the Jamuna and on the bank of the Ganges. Then he gradually came to the holy place of Naimasharanya. So we were discussing here this little difference in the position of Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in terms of the issue of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Now, before the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna states that, in the assembly of the Kurus, he states that an enemy of Arjuna is an enemy of mine. An enemy of Arjuna is an enemy of mine. So, in this way, Krishna became the enemy of the Kauravas, because they were enemies of Yudhisthira and Arjuna. But Balaram had different... He never assumed the position of enemy of the Kauravas, and he left the whole field completely and went on this pilgrimage. And even also we can see that Lord Nityananda, even though he, as we heard Kaviraj Goswami explaining, that he also appears alongside of Gaurasundara to serve him in his pastimes, but his mood is also different from Balaram's mood. Lord Nityananda was attacked by Jagai and Madai, and blood was flowing from his head, and he didn't become angry and didn't retaliate in any way. But we see many instances that Lord Balaram will become angry. Another, I was reading from Guru Raj Maharaj, he was explaining how in the incarnation of Ram and Lakshman, at that time Lakshman was obligated to behave in many ways that he wasn't happy about behaving. Behave in many ways that caused him unhappiness. For example, after the battle of Lanka, when Ravan had been destroyed and his armies, at that time Ram said to Lakshman, "You go and tell Sita that I cannot accept her in my home again because she's been contaminated by another man, and that you take her and she can enter into fire." And Lakshman was not at all pleased to follow this order. And so he vowed at that time that "I will never again appear as the younger brother." So in that way, as Balaram, he appeared as the elder brother of Krishna. And as Lord Nityananda, also he was the elder brother of Gaurasundara. 1 year older than Krishna, Balaram. 1 year older. 1 year. So he appears as the elder brother. And we can see in the Leela that another example is there, that Krishna is obligated by the opinion and of Balaram, because this is the Vedic culture. One has to follow the... One has to observe the desire. One has to adhere or respect the desires of one's seniors in the family, especially one's father and one's elder brothers. And this is Vedic culture. And Lord Krishna would do that. However, sometimes he would act in various clever ways to Krishna in order to have his desires fulfilled. Like, for example, Subhadra, their sister, Balaram and Krishna's sister Subhadra, Balaram had arranged, which was his responsibility to arrange the marriage for his sister, not Krishna's responsibility, he's the elder brother. He arranged for Duryodhan. He liked Duryodhan. And Krishna said, "Arjuna's enemy, my enemy." Balaram liked Duryodhan, so much so that he wanted to marry his own sister to Duryodhan. And so what did Krishna do? He made a whole nice arrangement. He told Arjuna, "You go to Dwarka and in the guise of a sannyasi. And there Lord Balaram will see you and he will want to serve you as a king and Kshatriya householder. And then he will send Subhadra to do service to you. And in that way, you'll be able to get opportunity to associate with Subhadra." So Lord Arjuna was sitting under the tree there, big, strong, healthy sannyasi, all muscles. And Lord Balaram said, "Goshai, welcome to Dwarka. Please take arms in my house." And he arranged nice service arrangement for Lord Balaram. And every day Subhadra was going there and serving Lord Balaram. And then, serving Arjuna. And then Balaram invited Arjuna, Maharaj, for prasadam. And Subhadra is serving the prasadam. And Arjuna is looking at her, glancing at her. And she's wondering, "What is this sannyasi doing, glancing at me in this way?" And she was actually also, you know, attracted. And sometimes she would discuss. She was talking, you know, like a young girl. She was very innocent. She was saying, "Maharaj, you travelled all over India, all the different places. Did you ever meet the Pandavas?" And Arjuna said, "Yes." "And did you ever meet Arjuna?" And Arjuna said, "Yes." And Subhadra said, "Maharaj, do you know where Arjuna is?" And Arjuna said, "Yes." "Do you know where Arjuna is now?" And Arjuna said, "Yes, he's sitting in the house of Subhadra taking prasadam." And this way Subhadra became very embarrassed and she left. So anyway, Subhadra was going to the temple one day, and as Krishna advised, Arjuna took the opportunity. He went out and he took her on a chariot and he took her away. And when Lord Balaram heard this, he was very... This was Arjuna, what? He was furious. And he took his weapons. He was ready to go after Arjuna, tearing to pieces. And then Krishna came and Krishna began to appease him. Actually, this is not such a bad thing. Dada.
Big brother.
This is not such a bad thing,
Dada Mahashoy.
Because actually an arrangement, an alliance between us and the Pandavas would be very, very conducive, very good, strategically good. So this is not such a bad thing that Subhadra becomes married to Arjuna. And in addition, he said that actually Subhadra is very much attracted. In fact, she was driving the chariot when they were taking off. As Arjuna was turning and combating the pursuants. So in this way Balaram gradually became appeased. So in that way we see, even though Balaram had a different opinion and he was senior, but by Krishna's expertise he was able to get his way. But there's many instances here of Balaram becoming angry. I'll come back to that one. This one also I wanted to read, another incident. This is about Rukmi. Yeah, Rukmi. Rukmi or Rukma? Yeah. Rukmi, the elder brother of Krishna's first wife. Rukmini. And you know the story that when Krishna captured Rukmini and took her away, she was very happy. But Rukma was very, I think he wanted to marry her to Shishupal. He was very unhappy, and then there was a fight. But Krishna didn't kill Rukma because, he just is his brother-in-law, he just married. So he didn't really want to start it off on such a violent, start off the relationship on such a violent. So they humiliated Rukma, but he was pretty humiliated by that. They shaved his head. So now, Rukma, the elder brother of Krishna's first wife, Rukmini, was greatly harassed and insulted in his fight with Krishna. But on the request of Rukmini, his life was saved. Since Rukma had held a great grudge against Krishna, you didn't hear this one yesterday? Yesterday was Vrindavan Leela, right? This is... Krishna was always... Since then, Rukma had had a great grudge against Krishna and was always inimical toward him. Nevertheless, his daughter married with Krishna's son. And that goes on to explain here about how those cousins, the daughter of Krishna and Rukmini, married the daughter of Rukma. Sorry, Pradumna married Rukmavati, the daughter of Rukma. And then their grandchildren also married. So they were pretty closely connected there with the marital ties. So we're reading on, although Rukmi was a veritable enemy of Krishna, he had great affection for his sister Rukmini and he wanted to please her in all respects. Thus he offered his granddaughter Rochana to Aniruddha. Such a marriage between immediate cousins is not very much sanctioned by Vedic culture, but in order to please Rukmini, Rukmi offered his daughter and granddaughter to the son and grandson of Krishna. In this way, when the negotiations of the marriage of Aniruddha with Rochana were complete, a big marriage party accompanied Aniruddha and started for Dwarka. They travelled until they reached Bhojakata, which Rukmi had colonized after his sister had been kidnapped by Krishna. This marriage party was led by the grandfather, namely Lord Krishna, accompanied by Lord Balaram. What a wonderful vision. Wouldn't it be nice if we could take darshan of that, Krishna and Balaram on the front riding on their horses with the marriage party of all his son and grandson and all the Yadus. And what a darshan that would be. This marriage party was led by grandfather Lord Krishna accompanied by Lord Balaram, as well as Krishna's first wife Rukmini and son Pradumna, Jambavati's son Samba and many other relatives and family members. They reached the town of Bhojakata and the marriage ceremony was peacefully performed. So this is interesting because we're seeing here how intimately, or you could say how much social connection there is between Krishna and Rukmi. As a brother-in-law, and then their children are married. Their two children are married, and their grandchildren are married. So they're in-laws. They're pretty much they're very closely related in the social scene here. But let's see how Balaram acts here. The king of Kalinga was a friend of Rukmi, and he gave him the ill advice to play with Balaram and thus defeat him in a bet. Amongst the Kshatriya kings, betting and gambling in chess was not uncommon. If someone challenged a friend to play on the chessboard, the friend could not deny the challenge. Sri Balaramji was not a very expert chess player, and this was known to the king of Kalinga. So Rukmi was advised to retaliate against the family members of Krishna by challenging Balaram to play chess. Although not a very expert player, chess player, Sri Balaramji was very enthusiastic in sporting activities. He accepted the challenge of Rukmi and sat down to play. Betting was with gold coins, and Balaram first of all challenged with 100 coins, and then 1,000 coins, then 10,000 coins. Each time Balaram lost, and Rukmi became victorious. Sri Balaram's losing the game was an opportunity for the king of Kalinga to criticize Krishna and Balaram. Thus the king of Kalinga was talking jokingly and purposefully showing his teeth to Balaram. Because Balaram was the loser in the game, he was a little intolerant of the sarcastic joking words. He became a little agitated. And when Rukmi again challenged Balaram, he made a bet of 100,000 gold coins. Fortunately, this time Balaram won. Although Balaramji had won, Rukmi, out of his cunningness, began to claim that Balaram was the loser and that he himself had won. Because of this lie, Balaramji became most angry. That's interesting also. Not because of the game, but because of the adharmic behavior, that he was lying and cheating. And that made Balaram angry. Not losing. It says here that he lost 3-4 times. He didn't become angry. But when he lied and was cheating, then Lord Balaram became angry. Because of this, Balaramji became most angry with Rukmi. His agitation was so sudden and great that it appeared like a tidal wave in the ocean on a full moon day. Balaram's eyes are naturally reddish, and when he became agitated and angry, his eyes became more reddish. This time he challenged and made a bet of 100 million coins. Again, Balaram was the winner, according to the rules of chess. But Rukmi again cunningly began to claim that he had won. Rukmi appealed to the princes present, and he especially mentioned the name of the king of Kalinga. At that time, there was a voice from the air during the dispute, and it announced that, for all honest purposes, Balaram is the actual winner of this game. And he is being abused, and that the statement of Rukmi that he had won is absolutely false. In spite of this divine voice, Rukmi insisted that Balaram had lost, and by his persistence it appeared that he had death upon his head. Falsely puffed up by the ill advice of his friend, he did not give much importance to the oracle, and he began to criticize Balaramji. He said, "My dear Balaramji, you two brothers, cowherd boys only, may be very expert in tending cows, but how can you expect to be expert in playing chess or shooting arrows on the battlefield? These arts are well known only to the princely order." Hearing this kind of piercing talk by Rukmi and hearing the loud laughter of all the other princes present there, Lord Balaram became as agitated as burning cinders. He immediately took his club in his hand, and without any further talk, this time no mediation,
He took his club in his hand without any further talk. He struck Rukmi on the head. From that one blow, Rukmi fell down immediately and was dead and gone. Thus, Rukmi was killed by Balaram on that auspicious occasion of Aniruddha's marriage. Shri Balaram Ji Ki. These things are not very uncommon in Kshatriya society. And the king of Kalinga, being afraid that he would be next to be attacked, fled the scene. Before he could escape even a few steps, however, Balaram Ji immediately captured him, and because the king was always showing his teeth while criticizing Balaram and Krishna, he broke all his teeth with his club. The other princes who were supporting the king of Kalinga and Rukmi were also captured, and Balaram beat them with his club, breaking their legs and hands. They did not try to retaliate, but thought it wise to run away from that bloody scene. During this strife between Balaram and Rukmi, Lord Krishna did not utter a word. For he knew that if he supported Balaram, Rukmini would be unhappy. And if he said that the killing of Rukmi was unjust, then Balaram would be unhappy. Therefore, Lord Krishna was silent on the death of his brother-in-law Rukmi. On the occasion of his grandson's marriage, he didn't disturb either his affectionate relationship with Balaram or Rukmini. After this, the bride and the bridegroom were ceremoniously seated on the chariot, and they started for Dwarka accompanied by the bridegroom's party. The bridegroom's party was always protected by Lord Krishna, the killer of the Madhu demon. They left Rukmi's kingdom, Bau Jakata, and happily started for Dwarka. Interesting incident this, which we can keep in mind. Oftentimes we may find ourselves in such a dilemma where we're caught in between the rival factions, and it's difficult. So we can follow Krishna's example here and remain neutral and not comment. It's not that we have to. So I like this particular incident. Of course, it shows Lord Balaram's transcendental bhav, that he doesn't tolerate any mischievous, and this is his mercy, just like all of the soldiers who were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra actually received the mercy of the Lord, and they attained, described in Bhagavatam first canto, they attained their swarup in the spiritual sky, all of the soldiers who were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So similarly, this is great mercy that Lord Balaram showed on Rukmi by killing him and purifying him and blessing him in that way. Sri Balaram Ji Ki. And it also shows Lord Balaram's unique nature, transcendental feelings and mood. So something else I'll read also. Another incident similar to this. We're focusing on Lord Balaram's anger today, and how he's a little different from Krishna in some ways. Here there's another example. Krishna was remaining indifferent, and Lord Balaram was very much angry with the activities of Rukmi. It's this one, Rama Harshana. The holy place Naimisharanya is still existing in India. In ancient times, it was especially used for the meeting of great sages and saintly persons with the aim of understanding spiritual life and self-realization. When Lord Balaram visited that place, we started with this earlier, Lord Balaram went on the pilgrimage. So now he'd come to Naimisharanya. When he visited that place, there was a great sacrifice being performed by the great assembly of transcendentalists. Such meetings were planned for thousands of years. When Lord Balaram arrived, all the participants in the meeting, the great sages, ascetics, Brahmins, and learned scholars immediately arose from their seats and welcomed him with great honor and respect. Some offered him respectful obeisances. Those who were elderly, great sages and Brahmins offered him blessings by standing up. After this formality, Lord Balaram was offered a suitable seat and everyone present worshipped him. Everyone in the assembly stood up in the presence of Lord Balaram because they knew him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Education or learning means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although Lord Balaram appeared on the earth as a Kshatriya, all the Brahmins and sages stood up because they knew who Lord Balaram was. Unfortunately, after being worshipped and seated at his place, Lord Balaram saw Ramaharshan, the disciple of Vyasadeva, literally incarnation of Godhead, still sitting on the Vyasasana. He had neither gotten up from his seat nor offered him respect. Because he was seated on the Vyasasana, he foolishly thought himself greater than the Lord. Therefore, he did not get down from his seat or bow down before the Lord. Balaram. When a person is seated on the Vyasasana, he does not generally have to stand up to receive a particular person entering the assembly. But if God himself enters the assembly, of course, we should stand up. What would you do if you're sitting and giving class and, of course, sitting on the Vyasasana, representing Vyas, and representing the Lord? So if your spiritual master entered the assembly, what would you do? You can think about that. We won't discuss it further. You can think about what you'd do. In this situation, it was different because Lord Balaram is not an ordinary human being. Therefore, although Ramaharshan Suda was voted to the Vyasasana by all the Brahmins, he should have followed the behavior of other learned sages and Brahmins who were present and should have known that Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Respects are always due to him, even though such respects can be avoided in the case of an ordinary man. The appearances of Krishna and Balaram are especially meant for re-establishment of the religious principles, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. The highest principle of religion is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Balaram saw that Ramaharshan Suta did not understand the principle, the highest principle of religiousness, in spite of having studied all the Vedas, he certainly could not support his position. So this is Lord Balaram, this is the lesson that Lord Balaram is teaching us here. He's sitting on the Vyasasana as a representative of Vyas, but the ultimate principle of the Vedic teachings, Veda Shcha Sarva Aham Eva Vedya, to know Krishna, he was neglecting. And he remaining, this is adharmic, he's assuming that position and neglecting its principal purpose. Not recognizing Krishna, remaining seated on the Vyasasana. Ramaharshan Suda had been given a chance to become a perfect Brahmin, but his behavior in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then other things are discussed. After seeing the deficiency of realization in Ramaharshan Suta, Lord Balaram decided to chastise him for being puffed up. Lord Balaram said, "This man is liable to be awarded the death punishment because although he has the good qualification of being disciple of Lord Vyasadeva, and although he has studied all the Vedic literature from this exalted personality, he was not submissive in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So that's a major offense. So this is Prabhupada's commenting from Bhagavad Gita. A Brahmana is very learned and automatically becomes gentle also. In the case of Ramaharshan Suda, although very learned, he had not been given a chance to become a Brahmin. He was not gentle. From this, we can understand that when one is puffed up by material acquisition, he cannot acquire the gentle behavior befitting a Brahmin. The learning of such a person is as good as a valuable jewel decorating the hood of a serpent. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasha Jati Shastram Japas Tapaha Apranesha Dehesha Mandanam Lokaranjanam. Hari Bhakti Vilas gives the example of flowers on a dead body. Decorating a dead body. What's the use of that? Oh, look, oh, beautiful. So this is the ornaments of a Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasha, of anything which is not meant for the service of the Lord. Such ornamentation is like decoration on a dead body. So learning without surrender to the Lord, similar. Despite the valuable jewel on the hood, a serpent is still a serpent and is fearful. If a person doesn't become meek and humble, all his studies of the Vedas and Puranas and vast knowledge of the Shastras become simply outward dress, like the costume of a theatrical artist dancing on the stage. Lord Balaram began to consider this. I have appeared in order to chastise false persons who are internally impure but externally pose themselves to be very learned and religious. Relevant instructions for us in the Krishna consciousness movement. Externally posing oneself to be learned and religious and remaining internally impure. My killing of such persons is proper to check them from further sinful activity. Lord Balaram had avoided taking part in the Battle of Kurukshetra, yet because of his position, the re-establishment of religious principles was his prime duty. Considering these points, he killed Ramahashansuta simply by striking him with a kusha straw, which was nothing but a blade of grass. If someone asks how Lord Balaram could kill Ramahashansuta simply by striking him with a blade of kusha grass, the answer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam by the word Prabhu. The Lord's position is always transcendental because he is omnipotent. He can act as he likes without being obliged to the material laws and principles. Thus, it was the position for him. It was possible for him to kill Ramahashansuta simply by striking him with a blade of kusha grass. So wonderful. We can go on. So much more. Balaram Leela is there. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to have spoken something about Lord Balaram and again revive the study of Krishna book. I've been very enlivened by this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity. So after this, the sages, they were a little disturbed by that. And they said, Lord Balaram, you have to, you know, you're the upholder of the religious principles, so you can't, you have to also now do some prayashchitta for killing a Brahmin. So then Lord Balaram, he said, okay, and then they instructed him, there was one demon nearby, and Lord Balaram killed them. And Lord Balaram went on after Naimisharanya, and further on, coming down along the Ganga, and then he came here to Mayapur. Lord Balaram visited Mayapur, and this is explained in Navadip Dham Mahatmya, that just over here, Lord Balaram also, a similar situation was there, that one great demon was disturbing the Brahmins there in, that must be Simantadweep, disturbing the Brahmins there, and when Lord Balaram came, then they requested him to dispose of that demon named Maya, Mayasura. And so Lord Balaram over there on his travels of pilgrimage around India, visiting Navadip Dham, he came through Navadip Dham over there on the bank of the Jalangi, just behind the Jagannath temple there in Simantadweep. He killed that Mayasura demon, and that place now is called Mayamari, where Lord Balaram killed the Mayasura demon, and we can go and visit there anytime and get the blessings of Lord Balaram. So we meditate these few days as we're approaching the Abhibhav Titi Mahotsav of Lord Balaram tomorrow, Balaram Punima, and we can meditate on all these different aspects of Lord Balaram. Today we are looking at his anger. In some ways he takes a different mood to Krishna, and then the reasons for him becoming angry, these different circumstances to uphold the religious principles. And what pleases Lord Balaram is integrity. Integrity is pleasing to Lord Balaram, not that we make a show of religious life and in internally maintain duplicitous attitudes. And Lord Balaram was intolerant to that, killed Ramahashansuta. So we can pray, Lord Balaram, please give us strength to become qualified to represent Krishna, the Prabhupada's movement of Krishna consciousness, get strength for Lord Balaram during these important days of Balaram Purnima, Abhibhav Titi Mahotsav. Shri Balaram Ji Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Gopamanandi.